So our text for this morning's meditation is from Ephesians chapter 6, these words. Therefore, take on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. That's Ephesians 6:13. So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as we're coming to the end of the church year, that last Sunday of November, that Sunday upon which we celebrate the return of our Lord Jesus Christ on the last day of the history of the world. Yes, as we are coming to the end of the church year, we encounter in our worship services a series of texts from Scripture, texts which talk about conflicts, which speak of battle, which describe the life of the Christian as that of a continual war. Yes, of a continual war. War. War against whom? Well, not a war against flesh, a war against blood, but a war against the spiritual forces of these end times. A war against Satan. A war against Satan's machinations, his movements, his activities, chiefly in all of the people around us. Now, stick with me here. Theologically, we call this, that is, the devil's workings in the people around us, we call that theologically the world, as in the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. Sure, throughout most of the second half of the church year, we talk about ourselves, about our old Adam within us, which is also a result of the work of Satan, and of our inner conflict, as daily through the power of the Holy Spirit we would drown and kill the old Adam within us, so that the new man, that created by the Holy Spirit when we were baptized, can come forth and arise. Now you can read about that in Romans chapter 6. But here in these last few weeks of the church year, we talk about how the devil comes at us through other people, through the world, we say theologically, and that presents a problem. Why? Well, first of all, you know, we don't always like this war language, this battle talk, this idea of the Christian being a soldier, and of God being a fort, a fortress, a mighty fortress in which we live when we live in fellowship with Him, in union and communion with Him. And we don't like this talk because of the horrors of war. The horrors of war brought to us on our television screens and in movie theaters and even in our own lives, if we indeed have had to serve in war and survived, or we have had a relative suffering from the effects of war. Who wants, in church of all places, to be reminded of death and bloodshed and violence and all the horrors that war brings to those involved? So the honoring of our veterans, right, tomorrow, who in many cases suffered so much. So the aversion even of thinking of all the texts of Scripture that speak just in this way. So that can be a problem for us. That is a tendency for us to shy away from the way the Holy Spirit Himself describes our current situation in the world as Christians, as soldiers, warriors even, in a spiritual war. Second problem then, which confronts us this time of the church year, is when we actually do embrace the idea of the Christian soldier, the Christian life being that of a soldier, that the world is in fact the principality of the devil, that yes, those around us are used by the devil for our harm. Yes, our second problem when contemplating these end times in which we live is that we can wrongly identify our enemy. That is, instead of understanding and comprehending that the war in which we find ourselves is a spiritual war, we believe it to be a physical war, a war of flesh and blood, a war in which we must constantly be on our guard to expose, to identify people and institutions and even whole countries who are our enemies as Christians. Well, they just may be our enemies, our worldly enemies, our political enemies, our military enemies. But our spiritual enemy is really the one against whom we must fight and fight constantly. And we know who he is. We don't have to identify him. It's Satan. Satan, that fallen angel. So our battle, the battle in which we find ourselves in these end times, truly is not so much physical as it is spiritual. And being a spiritual battle in which we find ourselves, we need spiritual weapons. Spiritual weapons, or at least spiritual armor. And the thing about spiritual armor, the good thing, the great thing, is that even if the battle we faced in these end times is in fact physical, involving our person, our reputation, our possessions, or even our life. Yes, even if we in these end times face the physical manifestations of our spiritual battle, our spiritual armor, it will suffice. It will be enough. It will be enough for us to stand. So what is that armor, that spiritual armor? Well, it's listed there in Ephesians 6, isn't it, right? Spiritual armor is, we can shorten it up a little bit, truth, righteousness, peace, faith, the hope of salvation, and the Word of God. Let's hear that list again. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, hope, and the Word of God. That's our armor for these end times. Our armor so that we can withstand the evil which we truly do face every single day. Our armor so we can remain standing. Now, how powerful is this armor of God? Well, to be honest, we've already experienced how powerful it is, haven't we? If just for a moment or two, that is, we've experienced the power of the armor of God when we have, for example, had a moment of complete and total confidence that the Word of God proclaimed to us is true. Or we have rejoiced when we have grasped, even for a few moments, that the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is our righteousness through faith in Him. We've experienced the power of our spiritual armor when we've been in awe, when we've realized the peace which the free forgiveness of sin through Christ, the gospel, has been shared with us. We've experienced that peace, that we are right with God and that God is right with us and He loves us and cares for us and will not abandon us. We've experienced the power of our spiritual armor when we have grasped that faith and faith alone in Christ, brings to us the forgiveness of sin, life, and salvation. And while it's difficult to comprehend how this is, how it works, it's wonderful. And what about those days of hope? Those moments when we've truly looked forward to spending an eternity with Jesus and all those who have died believing in Him and an eternity of joy. And finally, we've experienced the power of our spiritual armor when we have looked at our Bibles as our most precious possession, as the one thing with which we would not part in this life. Now, if we truly grasped this, the truth, righteousness, peace, faith, hope, and the Word of God, yes, if we truly live daily, every moment, with all of these things, we're conscious of them, we comprehend in them at one moment, all of them, all at the same time, all at one moment, I think we would glow, or at least be like one of those characters in a video game, who when you push one of the buttons or bonus is given, suddenly it has that transparent globe around it on the screen, and when that transparent globe is around that character, that figure can stand firm no matter what. That's what it means to put on the whole armor of God. That is to live daily in truth and righteousness and peace, faith, hope, and the Word of God. By doing so, what can we do but live in these end times, come what may, no matter what we hear in the news? No matter what happens in our lives, no matter what the doctor tells us, we can in Christ stand. We can stand in the evil day surrounded by this transparent globe of the whole armor of God. Of course, it might not seem so. I mean, we do have moments, hours, even days of fear, don't we? How are we supposed to understand that? Well, sometimes I think we're like the gerbils. Yeah, gerbils, I said. We're like the gerbils my siblings and I had growing up, the gerbils which every now and then we would put in a clear plastic ball about 8 inches in diameter. I think they still sell those. And in that clear plastic ball, the gerbil could propel itself around our house. So out our bedroom door, down the hallway, into the kitchen, trucking right along that clear plastic ball, exploring, enjoying, getting out of his cage, until our dog would see the gerbil in the ball and take out after it, barking and snarling. And the gerbil, seeing the dog, would start trucking in the opposite direction as fast as his little feet could take him. The gerbil was running for its life. So it seemed. But it wasn't, really. It wasn't, for there was no way that dog was going to get into that clear plastic ball. The gerbil was safe, truly safe, even though the menace was real. Now, if we as Christians were in that clear plastic ball and Satan were coming after us barking and snarling, what could we have done? Well, we could sat down in our tiny little easy chair, clicked on our tiny little television set, and enjoyed our tiny little bowl of popcorn. Why? We have Christ. We live in Christ, who is by our side upon the plain, the battlefield of these end times, with his good gifts and spirit, that is his Holy Spirit. For you see, our spiritual armor that we wear is that which comes from Jesus Christ himself. The truth about which we've been speaking, for example, is the truth of Christ. That is, that he is the very Son of God, crucified for our transgressions and raised again from the dead for our justifications. The righteousness of which we spoke was the righteousness of Christ, credited to us through faith. The peace mentioned earlier is the peace of Christ, the peace that only comes to us when our consciences have been stilled by the gospel of Jesus. Our hope, marvelous future with Christ. Of course, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, which allows us to keep Satan and all his schemes and machinations and intimidations and confrontations at bay. In Christ, we live in this transparent spiritual glow. Now, if we shy away from thinking in this way, that we are living on a battlefield in these end times, Satan over against us, Christ beside us, yes, if we don't like this picture, what is it that we'll do? We're going to fail. We're going to fail to put on the whole armor of God. We'll disregard the truth, righteousness, the gospel, faith, hope, the Word of God. Why? Well, we don't need that stuff, so we think. We already have peace. Well, worldly peace, temporary peace, peace that lasts for a while, but you know a while is not enough, nor is simply a worldly peace. What is needed is a heavenly peace, a peace with God, which we have through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the peace with God which is simply a part of our complete armament, spiritual armament, which is ours in Christ, in that, living in that. We can indeed live in these end times in true peace, withstanding the evil day. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.